So this is my favorite week of the Christian year, the beginning of the Christmas season. The Christian tradition uses the word Advent to describe this beginning of the Christmas season. It's all about waiting, preparing for the coming of Christmas. I think we have to admit that putting much energy into this waiting and preparing for this Christmas season is often difficult this time of year with all that's on our minds and our schedules. I think that's one reason that this season we wanted to talk about how we can really dig some meaning out of this Christmas season. This week we're talking about finding your hope in Christmas. Our scripture is from Isaiah 40, 1 through 11. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead the mother sheep. Our scripture today speaks to the Israelites who are struggling in exile, seemingly hopeless in the wilderness. God has seemed absent or silent at least. And it's to these people, God's people, at this trying time that God says, comfort, oh, comfort my people. Prepare the way of the Lord. God is coming. If we turn a few pages from Isaiah to the Gospels and fast forward about 800 years or so, John the Baptist, quoting Isaiah, cries out from the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. God is coming. The people had longed for God to just tear open the heavens and come down. They longed for a Messiah, someone who would save them from their sin and suffering with life on earth. And so John the Baptist's cry, prepare the way of the Lord, signaled them 2,000 years ago. Get ready. The Christ is coming. So here we are 2,000 years later. Christ has come, and I'm still not sure we're really ready. And if we're being honest, we do still need a little hope in this world. We live in a weird reality today where many of us know that Christ has come and has brought with him hope, peace, love, joy to this world. But we're also not naive. We've watched the news. This world still needs a God. We live in a kind of wilderness not a far cry from that of the Israelites. We still long for what they were waiting for God's glory to appear, for God's presence to be made perfectly known among us. Hope seems to live in this tension, this lump in your throat kind of tension between the present difficult realities of life on earth and this longing, this possibility, the just on the horizon promise that this world may someday be as it should be. Hope. Hope is what the words from our scripture today brings the people of Israel. In the classic children's book, The Best Christmas Pageant Ever, the main characters in the book, the kids in the Herdman family, are a mess. It is said that the Herdmans are absolutely the worst kids in the history of the world. They lied and stole and smoked cigars, even the girls, and talked dirty and hit their teachers and cussed their teachers and took the name of the Lord in vain and set fire to Fred Shoemaker's old broken-down tool house. This chaotic kind of life is all that the Herdmans had known. Somehow this year, the Herdmans find out about the Christmas pageant that's happening at the local church, and for some reason, they decide they want in. The director didn't want Herdmans anywhere near the Christmas pageant. After all, this was supposed to be the telling of the coming of Jesus. Rehearsals are disastrous, as expected, with Herdmans running everywhere, stealing, cursing, shepherds tripping over bathrobes, and angels pulling the hair of the wise men. When it came time for Christmas Eve, the church was packed, which is unusual considering the Christmas pageant was always the same old bathrobes and 12 verses of Silent Night. But this year, the whole town wanted to see the Herdmans do something unexpected. And so that's what happened. Somehow it turned out to be the best Christmas pageant ever. Maybe it was the crowd or the candles or the Christmas carols, but the Herdmans began to take it seriously. Imogene Herdman even began to cry as she held the baby Jesus doll and hummed along to Silent Night. Maybe the Herdmans began to catch on to this idea of God. Maybe they began to see something beyond what they had known, something like hope. Advent is all about waiting. We're supposed to be waiting for Jesus to come. I don't particularly love waiting, though, especially in line at the store or something. It's unproductive. But I don't think that's the kind of waiting we're supposed to be doing. Instead, our scripture tells us, prepare the way of the Lord. This is more like the kind of waiting you do when you have a new baby coming in the family. You don't just sit and wait. You get ready. You clear out the clutter in the room that will be the nursery. You paint the nursery. You get the crib put together. You read all the books about what to expect when you're expecting. And you pack the overnight bag for the hospital, all 3 months early. In this kind of waiting, you're really preparing for something yet to come. We're not just waiting in Advent. We're called to prepare the way of the Lord, to clear out the clutter in our hearts and in our lives, to make room for something yet to come. Our scripture tells us in verse 9, get up to a high mountain, you herald of good tidings. So who is really supposed to bear this message of hope to the world? I don't think that the scripture is just talking about angels singing out good tidings. We see angels decorated all over this time of year singing out hallelujah, but this message of hope is not just for angels to bring. We too, each of us, are called to bear this message of hope, to begin to prepare and make a way for God to enter in among us here on earth. There was a pastor who began to see a young girl at church each Sunday. Her parents sent her to church, but they never came with her. They dropped her off at the door, and they went out for Sunday breakfast. The father was an executive at a local company. He was business-minded, ambitious. And the whole town knew of the parties they had on Saturday nights. Parties given not just for entertainment, but as part of their career ambitions, which determined who was invited. The whole town knew how lively these parties really were. But every Sunday, that little girl was in church. One Sunday, however, the little girl was there with her mom and dad. At the end of the service, the invitation was given, and her mom and dad came down front and joined the church. After the service, the pastor asked the new members what prompted their coming to church. They responded, "Do you know of our parties?" And the pastor said, "Yes, I've heard of your parties. Well, we had one last night. It got a bit loud. It woke up our daughter. And she came halfway down the stairs and saw all the eating and drinking going on and said, "Oh, can I give the blessing? God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food." And she wished everyone good night and went on back upstairs. People began to say, "Well, it's getting late. We really better be going. And thanks for a great evening." Within 2 minutes, the room was cleared out. The mom and dad began to clean up, and they looked at each other, thinking the same thing. What have we been doing? Where have we been going? And so there they were at church with their daughter the following Sunday, because she had been preparing, making a way for Jesus among us here on earth. Just last Tuesday, Police Sergeant Brett Barnum stood guard at a Portland protest over the shooting of young Michael Brown. With emotions running high as speakers were addressing the crowd, in the midst of a large group of people, the sergeant noticed a young man with tears in his eyes holding a sign that said, "Free hugs." It was a 12-year-old boy named Devante Hart. Sergeant Barnum motioned him over to the edge of the crowd, and the two started talking about the demonstration, about school, art, life. As the conversation ended, Sergeant Barnum pointed to the boy's sign and said, "Do I get one of those?" And he did, as we see. I know there are people in this world, in this city even, who need hope, who feel removed from God, like God's abandoned us, like there's a sort of wilderness between us and God. I'm sure we all have some idea of what it's like to feel that longing for God. Just to hear some words of comfort, a simple message of hope, would mean the world. So God's people, you heralds of good tidings, in your hearts, in your lives, in this city, prepare a way for the Lord. Make a way among us here on earth for Jesus. In him there is hope. Amen.